Of your Maya. By your grace alone can one get liberated from this elusive Maya. O Devi, all knowledge revealed to humans in all fields are your differentiation arising from you. All women in this world are your parts or your own form. O Mother, by you alone is filled all in this world. What praise is there of you which is glorious and which contains hymns capable of extolling you? Well, my speech is going to be in English because it's not that I have forgotten Kannada, but the flow will be better in English. The hymn which you all know, which I just said, is from the 11th chapter of Durga Saptashati, which is found in Markandeya Purana. And Markandeya Purana is about 250 century CE or AD. As I talk, I will bring a link between what I'm trying to say and what is going on, you know, in the modern world. Also in the Saptashati, of all the 47 slokas, in the first chapter, what we all know as is Devi Kavacha. Kavacha means shield. The prayer here in Kavacha invokes Mother Durga protecting each and every part of the mind, body. Interestingly, around the 20th verse, there is a mention of different organs, systems, blood, secretions, brain, mind, consciousness, psychology, and more. For example, there is a stanza which says, Rakta Majjava Samsthani Asti Medansi Parvati Antrani Kala Ratishcha Pittancha Mukuteshwari Padmavati, Padmakoshe, Kape Choda Manistata, and on. So what has that to do with this today's topic? Mataji announced me to be a doctor. So when I say Raktamajjava Samstani, it's blood, it's muscle. Padmakoshe, Kape Choda Manistata. So Devi Kavacha not only mentions this system, Devi is connected to different parts of the body and has specific energy attached to it. Let's take a simple example. Kaphe Chudamani Sthita. Kapha, phlegm, mucus. It's nothing but a secretion that is coughed up from your airway system. And there's a Devi, Chudamani, in charge of it. Chuda is bundle of hair, mani is jewel. The jewel crust or a headdress. Coming back to the kapha or the mucus which I'm talking about, is nothing but cells and the lining of the respiratory system. And these are hair-like projections called cilia that clears up your debris and moves this irritant out of your passage. So, phlegm, mucus, under the microscope is nothing but a bunch of cells and entangled hair. You see where I'm trying to connect? Now you see how there's a connection between Chudamani, what we call my medical term, cilia mani maybe also. So what I'm trying to link here is my question that Markandeya Purana was written or found around 3rd century, I would say, whereas anatomy, the oldest and the scientific discipline of medicine, was first described around 4th or 6th century. I don't know the numbers, I don't know how to count AD, BC or whatever, but roughly a millennium or a century before anatomy text was written, Devi Kavacha had already described the science behind the body. Wow, how did that happen? Is it important? Is it relevant? Does it matter which came first? Did anatomy get into scriptures or the vice versa? Well, that is the basis of my topic for today, mother, modern world, and scientific reasonings. I shall start with my own experience, which made me ponder over many things, and finally I could reverse engineer three things. When a young, energetic gentleman questioned me about Holy Mother. This youngster is someone who belong to Gen Z. Gen Z is the kids born between 1997 and 2018. meaning the youngest kid in this generation will be about 8 or 9 years now. Like the science fiction, hipster, rocking, cool, yo man kind of kids, they are all the Gen Z. And the youngster hailed from the most progressive, liberal and advanced part of the world, United States. And he lived in the bubble called Bay Area, where they see only money and nothing else. Money and nothing else. Well, this person asked me, why are you blindly following an organization? Holy Mother, you call her Holy Mother, who is she? She's just an ordinary, uneducated Bengali woman who lived in the 18th century. That was the first question. The second one was, what did she preach anyways? And how is her teachings relevant for this period of time? Again, right, this is the yoga in the hood who's standing in on the whatever, whichever part of the world and asking, who's Holy Mother? Well, I wanted to yell at him and say, what a dumb guy you are. You mean you don't know Holy Mother, the Mother, the Sarada, the Thakurmani, Kshemankari? Nope, nada, nothing. He didn't know anything about her. So I decided to answer all his queries. Actually, there were a bunch of kids. Their queries in the most humble and scientific manner. We, or you know, quite a few of us here, are in a sandwich generation, where on one hand, we have our parents, our upbringing in India, our values, customs, faith, and more. While the kids of next generation, future generation, youngsters belonging to that Z, X, millennials, etc., they are in their own trajectory, in their own mind space. So how do you give a valid reasoning with them about the principles and faith and what spiritual inclinations we are having? How do we talk to our youngsters in our household and pave a path of understanding which will surely benefit both the generations? Of course, anyone who picks up Swami Vivekananda's book and reads it once, they don't need all these reasonings. They straight away jump, leap, and they're all in ashrams, as you know, brahmacharis and sannyasinis. And of course, there's Advaita talks by Vivek Pranana Mataji, or Shailaja Didi's, Divananda Pranaji's lectures. They can give more and better answers for all these queries too. Or there is Swami Sarvagananda's talks on Bhagavad Gita, or Imitation of Christ. And there's SoundCloud, audible books of Swami Sarvadevananda available. The source is plenty. But what I'm trying to say is here is my own experience in the simplest and sincere way. So let me take the first question. What was the first question? Sharada Devi is just an ordinary Bengali woman from the 18th century. No, she isn't. How do I prove her relevance even after 168 years today, 169th birthday? Kind of got off my answers. What are the new generation kids into? Gizmos, gadgets, iPhones, iPads, MacBook, social media, internet. That's it. Internet, there you go. So I asked those bunch of kids to go type up Holy Mother on Google Chrome. And voila, some 2,000 pages came up. Links, attachments, another say 100, 200, 300, whatever. The number of books written about her, at least in thousands. Short books, biographies, color me, picture me books, and more. And next, I asked the same youngsters to type Sarada or Holy Mother and research. Another 8,000 various theses, research work, abstracts, papers, journals, subject seminars, publications, much more surfaced on the biggest research platform like ResearchGate, inquiry pages like Quora. And then there was oodles and oodles informations, preachings, books, in more than 100, 200 languages. Portuguese, Mandarin, French, Russian, who knows? There will be a book in Swahili or Tulu also. I have not researched. I had a very short time to prepare, probably. Yeah. So there are people who have gotten their doctorate degree in philosophy with the topic Sarada. Interestingly enough, one of the boys who asked me this question was learning Spanish, and I was learning Spanish too. So I got my chance to explain to them. I asked the boy to search for Holy Mother in Spanish. And what came up? One of the most read books in Spanish, translated from Swami Nikilananda's original Holy Mother being the life of Holy Mother being the life of Sarada Mani. It came up in Spanish. Santa Madre, La Vida de Sarada Devi, Esposo de Sri Ramakrishna, y coparticipe en su misión. Santa Madre, Holy Mother, La Vida, Life of De Sri Sarada Devi, Life of Sarada Devi, Esposo de Ramakrishna, Wife of Ramakrishna, y and coparticipe en su misión. She is a helpmate in his mission. Okay, impressive for a youngster. But not only that, people from South America, especially Mexico, worship their own Mother Virgin, Mother Mary, in the form of Our Lady of Guadalupe. When you see a picture of Mother of Guadalupe, it is like Holy Mother wearing a robe, period. Such a striking resemblance of the Mother of Guadalupe, the South American, Spanish-speaking lady, to this mother who's sitting here. Many of my Spanish-speaking friends who've seen Holy Mother's pictures in my house, in the shrine, were mesmerized by her looks and how Mother reminds them of Holy Mother Mary. So, coming back to the same thing, I told this young man, does this 18th century woman get at least one brownie point? Because she's famous, she's got oodles and oodles of her information, that she's, you know, aiming people as far as South America knows her. And I think I just proved him one point, or I just got him to his headspace. The second question was, what did she preach anyway? Well, she has preached and taught a lot of things. I could go on and on and on. But see, I was trying to give him a scientific reasoning for all their questions. So I just randomly picked two of her teachings. Mother says, right, if you want peace of mind, do not find fault in others. Rather see your own faults. Learn to make the world your own. No one is a stranger. The whole world is your own. And then the other one about, one who makes a habit of prayer easily overcomes the difficulties, and if you remain calm and unruffled in the midst of trials of life, whatever you earn for, that you will get. Now I have to prove that what Mother refers to as oneness, the whole world is your own, is oneness, right? The whole world is ours, oneness. And how prayers affect, or do prayers really affect? With a scientific reasoning again. Guess what? I did give him the most scientific, rather the most astrophysics scientific answer, almost like Neil deGrasse Tyson like explanation. 3 years ago, I was working on an unusual research topic. Little did I know that this very own thesis topic is going to come so handy. The topic was MECWEP. Don't worry, I'm not going to bog you all down with what it means. The short acronym for MECWEP is Meditation and Quantum Entanglement in Palliative Care. palliative care is end of life when people have only 6 months to live. Whatever be the cause, we call them people in palliative care, so we take care of them. We give them only, you know, supportive treatment, holistic medicine and all that. So my topic was MECWEP, meditation and quantum entanglement in palliative care. So before understanding, we have to understand what is quantum entanglement. Right? I don't want to bore you all with physics, anything. This is very simple. Quantum entanglement is a phenomenon of modern physics. Let me give you the simplest example. We are all human beings. We are all social beings. We are all connected. So that means in this ever-evolving world, we are all one, oneness. How did that happen? Let's take the smallest example, drinking tea and the sunlight. Say I drink tea in India and someone drinks tea in Australia. We both are tea drinkers. We are connected. Are we? Yes. But the sheer fact that the tea leaves derived its source from the energy called sun. It is the same sun which energizes tea leaves in different parts of the world. So, is there sunness, oneness? That's the basic concept. So, the more astrophysical explanation, like my weird thesis, quantum entanglement, was quantum means a very small quantity of energy. Very small, minimum. The smallest possible energy, say, on the atom, which is the smallest part. So, quantum entanglement is a physical phenomenon that occurs when pairs of particles, or say when group of particles, are entangled and they interact in such ways that their quantum state cannot be described independently. Let me make it simple and give the most famous, very logical and proven example, which was also an experiment. What scientists did was they brought a pair of diamond crystals. This happened in real. If you go search for quantum entanglement and diamond, this topic comes up. So what they did was they brought a pair of diamond crystals, put them together and spun them. You know, if the jewelers do, right, they polish whatever. So they spun them together and put them in their what is called particle state. Let's say, you know, the most conducive atmosphere. So basically they got those particles to mix or entangle, and then they separated them. They took one diamond crystal to, say for example, Africa, one remained in India. And then the one of the diamonds, they tried to spin it on its own. Know what happened? Guess what happened? The one which was spinning in India, it was spinning on its own, nobody did anything. The one which was in Africa, there was no conducive atmosphere, there was nothing. When you spun the diamond here in India, the one in Africa started rotating on its own. Although you gave a stimulus here, although you put the energy here, how did that happen? So this is what the scientists thought a spooky action at a distance. If I bypass all the science physics explanation and try to put it in simple words, what it means is when two objects come in contact with each other, their energies are entangled. Even time, distance, place, orientation or space cannot alter their superposed or attached states. Going a bit deeper, the entangling occurs through atomic vibrations. Again, this means on psychological or philosophical field is that when we get attached to someone, right now I gave you the example of an atom. Two atoms, they came together, they are separated, but still they have the connection. This is rotating when that is rotating. So we as human beings, when we get connected or become attached to someone, something at the atomic level happens. Your atoms, the building blocks in the universe, become entangled. So this basic oneness, which I was trying to explain on the thesis work, was again on the same concept. What I wanted to see and explore is there a connection between people, and is there an effect of transmission of well-being amongst people? So that is the research which I did. Took a bunch of people who were in palliative care, told their relatives that your mom, dad, whoever is not going to survive. What can you do? You can just pray. Can we pray? Can we meditate? Right? So does prayer help? So they sat down in different parts of the room and they prayed for the well-being of this, you know. And the person who was in palliative care, they did feel better. Their vital signs were better. Suppose someone whom I love or care for is not doing well in the United States, say, and I pray for them in India, will they have the same feeling of well-being or will the prayers touch them? Yes, that's exactly what the quantum entanglement explained. Once you come together, once there's energy, even if you separate, it goes. Once I pray, through this transmission, prayers are reached. So we actually did an experiment in UCSF, California, and we asked families, like I said, to pray and meditate, or even send some kind of positive vibes to terminally ill patients who are far away. Using brain scans, we saw focal activities and changes, and all of these are documented, and all of these are well documented. You can find the papers if you want. I can give you the link for them. All forms of prayer or meditation to a person we intend to heal did evoke a positive response. So we asked family members to pray for the loved ones who are terminally ill. 4 to 5 sessions later, we did see that patients felt better. That's why, right, coming back to this topic of what will we say, oneness, and Holy Mother says prayer. I wanted to link that. I wanted to give so much of explanation to the youngster to say, hey, prayers work, sincere prayers work. Reminded them of, if someone is ill, if you ask Mataji or Swamiji, Swamiji, I'm not feeling well, will you pray? They pray. It does help us somehow. I proved, at least to an extent, to reason out the concept of mother's oneness and prayers, how it helps through the concept of quantum entanglement. There you go. I told the boy. Faith-based science is what even the astrophysicist like Neil deGrasse Tyson has also discussed. So one point, she is not an ordinary Bengali woman. She has been researched well. The second point, she spoke about oneness and prayers. And I gave the example, quantum entanglement, through my research, go look it up, we are all connected, prayers help. So I think I got 2 brownie points out there. Maybe not. Final reasoning was, it's a very, you know, very, what do you say? It's a good question, apt question for this generation. So the bunch of kids asked me, how is Holy Mother's teachings relevant in this period of time? I mean, youngsters like us, how do we relate? Well, Holy Mother, with all her naivety and simplicity, was the most intelligent, progressive, liberal, fierce, and an independent lady. Today, the youngsters raise their voice or opinion and their concern, and they are very vocal about the current issues, like fundamentals of women rights, women lib, empowerment, most importantly, gender equality. Yes? Gen X, they all go, volunteer, march. That's exactly what Holy Mother said or did or stood for and showed us an example, a personified example. Gender equality. Mother is the only one who disproved this world that women are not instrument of reproduction. She was neither a reproducer nor a caregiver of family's general prosperity. She was fiercely independent. That is those many years ago, the 18th century, where there were so many stigmas around widows. She did not ask for help. She did not go for begging. She did not even say, hey, help me out. Right? I'm the wife of your guru.
Or I, you know, Vivekananda, person like Swami Vivekananda, caliber of his stature, I'm like Guru Patni. No, she didn't. She cooked for herself, she looked after others, but she never invested in her self-care. Rather, she invested in the welfare of others. So, you're talking about equality, differences, women empowerment. Aren't these the same definitions the modern world describe an independent woman as? So where is this 18th century uneducated woman today? In the heart of zillions, guiding them, protecting them, and even educating them through million others. Isn't that empowering women? She taught and became a role model to the liberation of many, many of us. The social and cultural values she brought in is comparable or more than at par with the civil rights movement leader called Martin Luther King Jr. He's from the United States, he fought for the lives of the black, he fought for the advancement of colored people. So mother, Martin Luther King was a lawyer, he was educated. Mother wasn't. She was silently fostering the social changes during her time. Her social role was her undaunted influence in the movements of emancipation. Those seeds were long sown. She started a movement for women, to the women, by the women, and today we are here, this organization called the Sarada Math. It's mother's teachings and ideals that have empowered women like us. Be it education, health, whatever, small villages, big towns, every locality, every tiny place you see, her work is going on. She started that, she inspired it. Schools, computer classes, tailoring units, knitting, whatever it takes to make a woman to be independent. And what is the youngster talking about? Mother, ordinary mother, what does she know? How is her teaching relevant today? It is more relevant today because she's already given all that, right? So definitely Holy Mother is no ordinary Bengali woman. She's beyond that. Mother Sarada is still our contemporary, for she resembles modernity more than any modern activists. Well, I gave the example of Martin Luther King. He died, you know, he made something. Even today people fight. But look what Holy Mother did. Whatever she gave us, we are following. We have already inculcated in our lives. In the most developed part of the United States, there's still oppression. There's still discrimination. But here we don't have. So next time, a smart whiz kid with a hoodie, with a headphone and an iPod, with an accent, with a drawl, asks you a doubting question about our 18th century uneducated Bengali woman, please send them to me. Mother Sarada will surely help me find more physics, astro and beyond galaxy of books and scientific reasonings for all the new generation kids on the block. Only those of us fortunate ones know who she is really. She's Ma, she's Jagajanani, she's Bhavatarini, she's Sarada, the Devi who imparts knowledge. We don't need any more scientific reasonings to convince the fact that she is Ma. Whenever you are in distress, say to yourself that you have a mother. Yes, we all have the most intelligent, most compassionate, most affectionate and the very scientific mother. Jai Ma Sharda. I would like to end my talk here with sincere thanks to Mataji Geeta Prana for having given me this opportunity to share a few thoughts on this holy day in this holy dais. And I would like extend my sincere apologies if, you know, this kind of topic has not gone into the concept or it's something was misinterpreted. So I would like to end here with a note that we are all empowered, we are all women, we are all mothers, children. Jai Durga, Jai Durga, Jai Durga. Thank you.